everyone. This is Jeannie. I use she, her pronouns, and you're listening to Sex Talk Happy Hour, a podcast hosted by the New York City Alliance Against Sexual Assault. A real quick note before we begin. At the end of each episode of Sex Talk Happy Hour, I always try to make sure I give a special shout out to our social media expert, Nikki. I've been calling her our quote-unquote social media guru, but a guru is a spiritual teacher, typically associated with Hinduism or Buddhism, and, well, I realize it might not be the best term to be using and is kind of culturally insensitive. So I'm calling myself out, and I apologize for using this term, and I promise to be better in the future. Thank you all for being so understanding, and here's to hoping we are always trying to get better and learning more. Okay, so today we're excited to talk to you about one of our own projects here. It's called Project Dot. I got to interview one of my coworkers, Christina, who facilitates the program here at the Alliance. I'll let her tell you more about Project Dot, but as always, I want to provide our self-care heads up. Please always take care of yourselves while you're listening to our episodes, as some topics may be difficult to hear at times. And make sure you stay tuned till the end of the episode where we get to tell you how you can get involved, if this is the type of project that you'd be interested in. Okay, here's my interview with Christina about Project Dot here at the Alliance.
My name is Christina Ortiz. I am the Senior Prevention Coordinator here at the Alliance, and my pronouns are she, her, hers.
Thank you so much, Christina, for being here. Okay, so what is Project Dot? What does it stand for? What are its goals?
Project Dot, which stands for Project Dream Own Tell, is the first ever citywide sexual assault prevention program in New York City that is geared towards youth aged 13 to 21 from underserved and minority communities.
Can you tell us why Project Dot was created? Like, what needs are meant to be addressed? What needs were you seeing?
Yeah, so the New York City Alliance created Project Dot because they saw that there was no other sponsored sexual assault prevention program for youth of color. We know that there's an increased incidence of rape in many communities of colors, and there are few resources for them.
So how do you recruit your participants, and which communities do they typically belong to?
Various ways in how we reach out to our youth. So we reach out to high schools and middle schools, usually guidance counselors. We also work with community-based organizations, and we focus our recruitment around the LGBT community, the Arab American, Southeast, East Asian community, Black community, and the Latinx community. So we actually have worked with several community-based organizations in the past, and that includes Jaya Youth Empowerment, The Point, Chinese American Planning Council, Voices Latinas, and Womankind.
Gotcha. Now, I know that from previous conversations we've had that Project Dot wanted to reach these communities because research shows that they often do not have access to resources around sexual violence prevention and healthy relationship education. So I'm wondering, what do you think contributes to these lack of resources?
I would say stigma is a huge reason why resources aren't brought to these communities. There's cultural stigma around even the topic of domestic violence, and sexual violence is a further step that makes people uncomfortable. And a lot of these underserved communities, we have to deal with the fear of deportation and getting law enforcement involved, including taboos around the issue, even something as relationships. There's a lot of cultural norms that surround relationships in these communities.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Stigma is very powerful. Okay, so can you tell us about the model of Project Dot? How does it work? Are there particular topics that always come up in these groups?
So Project Dot is broken up into three, we'll say, components. So we have the leadership and educational component, which is about 8 weeks, and we educate the youth in how to be a leader, gender roles, cultural competency, bystander intervention, consent, and healthy team relationships. Then the next part is community mobilization. So they take everything that they've learned from the first part and they design and launch a community engagement activity to engage peers and adults in their community about teen sexual violence prevention. And then the third component is a social media campaign where they will directly engage their peers via social media. We have a hashtag called hashtag everybody told me ... hashtag nobody told me. So they take something that everybody has told them their entire life about consent, healthy relationships, and sex. And it goes hashtag everybody told me. And then they take what they've learned and they follow up with hashtag nobody told me. So, for example, in my most recent group, the Southeast Asian group, they came up with the hashtag everybody told me to cover up my titty, but hashtag nobody told me all about my kitty. So for them, it was about how they perceived it is that everyone always tells them to cover up their body as a woman, and specifically as an Asian woman, balancing between being virginal and then being sexual. But nobody ever told them about their kitty, about taking care of it, about how it's theirs and how they should respect it and how they want others to treat it.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that hashtag. I seriously think that's so amazing. Okay, so now you had mentioned some community mobilization projects as part of the Project Dot model. Can you share with us some examples of things the youth groups have worked on in the past around the community mobilization aspect?
Yes. So with our Black youth, which we co-sponsored with Jaya Youth Empowerment, they, for their community mobilization, they did a teach-in at the Brooklyn Public Library where they recruited adults to teach them about healthy relationships and teen sexual violence. And most recently with my Southeast Asian group, they did several different projects because they split up. And one of them was a Draw My Life that influential YouTubers used to do to explain their lives, but they did it about victim blaming. And then we've also have youth that ask for anonymous questions from their peers, and they answered those and giving them advice and explaining to them different ways to be in a healthy relationship as a teen.
Oh, cool. Like an ask me anything type of thing. That's awesome. Those are super creative. I love that. I don't know that I was that creative as a young person, or even if I'm that creative now. Okay, so for you as a facilitator of these groups, I'm wondering, is there anything or any moment that stands out to you that you would be willing to share with us?
I think there's several things that stand out to me. So with the youth, I feel like they're doing so much. Like, they're not just going to school and coming to Project Dot, being an intern for us. They're going to school. They're coming to Project Dot. They're studying for the SATs. They're in sports. They're tutoring. They're babysitting. I feel like they're doing so much more than I feel I did at that age. So they're balancing all these responsibilities as both a young adult who's trying to find their way in life. And I think what really comes up is the role of social media in their lives, how social media plays a huge, huge part of not only their dating lives, but they're just their overall socializing lives. Like, for example, they no longer exchange phone numbers to do group projects. They all message each other on Facebook Messenger.
Wow, that is admittedly a little mind-boggling to me, but I also think it makes sense now that you've said it out loud. No wonder a social media campaign is so important to them.
Yeah, and social media plays both can be both good and bad. Like it by not providing their phone numbers, that's a safety measure for them, but then they spend a majority of their time during the day on social media.
That makes a lot of sense now that you've said that, and that's super fascinating to me. Thank you for sharing that part. I hope that actually helps our listeners understand our young people a little bit better. Okay, so I know in the past we've worked with communities of color. Are there any communities you are looking to work with in future versions of Project Dot?
Yes, so we will be starting a new group, a new round in September, and we'll be recruiting for three different groups. It will be LGBTQ, young men of color, and then youth who reside in non-traditional housing. So that means shelters, supportive housing, and foster care.
That's amazing. And if anyone were to want to get in touch with you because they're interested, how would they do that?
So you can reach out to me via email. My email address is cortiz@svfreenyc.org. You can also check out our website. And if you're interested in being an intern, it's an 18-week commitment. You learn leadership skills, community mobilization, social media skills, as well as professional development. You get a stipend. You get a certificate to put on your resume to help you for college or future jobs. also are always looking for community partners to co-facilitate Project Dot with us, because we feel like having a facilitator that is from the same community as our youth plays a very big role in the conversation that we're having, as well as when they're ready to start engaging their community.
That sounds like a good plan to me. Thank you so much for your time, Christina.
You're welcome.
Amazing. Thank you again to Christina Ortiz for telling us about this awesome program. Listeners, I will include all of the contact information that you need in the episode description and again at the end of the episode. Please do get in touch with us if you or someone you know might be interested in participating in Project Dot, or if you or your agency are interested in partnering with us. We definitely want to hear from you. And again, that information will be in our episode description. Okay, so now that we've had a chance to hear from Christina about Project Dot and what it is, let's take a few minutes to talk to some alumni of the program, yeah? Okay.
My name is Joanne, and my pronouns are she, her, hers.
Yes, my name is Damian Dacius. My pronouns are he, him. I am a 22-year-old who is currently pursuing music, and I work with a nonprofit organization called Jaya.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. I'm really glad that you're here. Okay, so first things first, what does JAYA stand for and what do you do there?
JAYA stands for Just As I Am Youth Empowerment. We do lots of great things. We do like leadership development. We focus on spirituality and we give the youth confidence to go out and chase their dreams.
Thank you. That's awesome. I love that mission. Okay, so I know that Jaya has been partnering with us to work on Project Dot. Can you share with us how old you were when you joined Project Dot?
Well, I first started doing messages for Project Dot when I was 21, back in 2017.
I'm 22 years old. I joined Project Dot when I was about 20, going to 21. I met them through Jaya, which is the youth group that I'm a part of. We have our meetings at their building, and we joined Project Dot, you know, to help get the word out to youth. And I was part of the African-American group, focus group. So, yeah, it was really cool.
And why did you decide to get involved with Project Dot?
Honestly, it was the message. The message is really powerful. It's refreshing to have, like, you know, messaging for youth and encourage them to, like, step out and be healthy bystanders and teach them about healthy relationships and consent. That's stuff that's not spoken about now. So I thought that was really interesting. It's something fresh. It's something, it's not on the table a lot as a youth. It's not on the table a lot. And it's a conversation that needs to be had.
What kinds of topics did you talk about in these groups?
We spoke about healthy dating relationships, abusive relationships, and bystander rules. And I think that the bystander portion of everything was the most interesting, because growing up, especially, you know, as an African-American person, like, I feel like we are always told to mind our business. And, you know, you see something, you make sure you stay away from it because you don't want to get involved in it too. But at the Alliance, they were teaching us to try and do the opposite, because you have to help out people in your communities. So that took me for a spin, definitely. And it was hard for me to kind of understand how to be a good bystander. And it made me question how long I've been being, I guess, like a bad bystander. So, you know, that made me really think a lot. So, yeah.
Is there anything you learned from Project Dot that you found to be useful in your personal life?
Oh, most definitely. We also spoke about consent, which is another topic I had forgot to mention. Consent is super duper important. And now I've been learning about it for the past 2 years with Project Dot. And it's something that really comes up in my everyday life. You know, I'm young, I'm dating, and, you know, even with friendships, consent is important. So that constantly goes through my mind, you know, what are my boundaries? You know, what are my values? How can I let somebody know these things so that they can respect me? And also, too, like, if I'm not okay with something, that it's okay to say no. Don't feel afraid to say no. And if that person doesn't respect you and respect your no, then you should know to walk away and that they're not the right person for you. And that's regardless if the relationship is intimate or platonic. So that's something that I carry with me every single day.
Yes, actually, Project Dot taught me a whole lot about consent. Now, of course, you know, like, consent as in, yes, you can cross the street. No, you can't cross. You know what I'm saying? When your parents are raising you, blah, blah, blah. We know that stuff. But during sex, I never knew that you were allowed to say no, even when you were halfway through. You know, I kind of always had the mindset of once you start it, you got to finish it. But if you're truly uncomfortable, Project Dot gave me the confidence to turn around and say, no, I'm not feeling this. I want to stop here and be confident in that, you know?
Awesome. I'm really glad that that was important for you to have a conversation around. So, okay, I know you're involved with Jaya. I'm not sure how many other youth programs you've been involved with in the past, but I'm curious, what do you think sets Project Dot apart from other youth programs that you've seen?
Honestly, the conversation, period. Like, I love the fact that, one, they're having a conversation, and instead of just, like, making it, like, a textbook conversation, they're finding fun, creative ways to connect it back to the youth so they can pay attention to it. Everybody learns differently. We can't, you know, throw a bunch of big words out there and expect them, you know, to get it right off bat. So the fact that Project Dot is open to, like, creating riddles and, you know what I'm saying, lots of fun little word schemes and fitting into what today's generation says is dope. It's really cool.
I feel like Project Dot gives youth a chance to be authentic and stand in their truth as far as, you know, when it comes to explaining what have you learned or what have you been taught. Because what I realized is that once I entered Project Dot, I realized that there's a lot of things that I didn't learn in school and from my parents. So I came to Project Dot thinking like, oh yeah, I know about this and I know about that. But in all reality, when we got down to the nitty gritty of things, I realized that I didn't know much about these topics. I thought I did, but I kind of knew like the surface level stuff that anybody would know. I didn't know like that consent can apply for any single thing and not just if you want to have sex or not. It literally can apply to anything and it should be respected at all times. So I think that it's really awesome that they allow us youth to just be authentic and constant and give us constant reassurance that it's okay that you don't know. This is what we're here for. So then that automatically creates a comfortable and safe environment to learn. And I just think that that's really awesome because then, like, as meetings go by, you see people become more vulnerable and are more willing to share their personal experiences as examples. And then it just becomes a place where we just all learn from each other. And when you speak about something personal, you automatically get recognition and comfort. So I think that's extremely important.
Do you think that having a space to be authentic is particularly important for communities of color or marginalized communities in general?
Yes, definitely. I think it's extremely important to have a place to be authentic because, you know, your experience can help someone else. And if you have a space to speak about it, then, you know, you can't teach others. And some people, unfortunately, they don't have the strength to speak on what's happened to them. And maybe you can be that voice for them. And also, I feel like in my community, we like to use the whole term, you know, don't speak about anything or stay in a child's place or, you know, mind your business. And all those things are just really negative because it teaches you to, you know, keep all your stuff to yourself, which is not healthy at all. It can stress somebody out. You know, you have a mouth, use it. You have a voice, use it. If you went through something traumatic, the best thing to do, the first step of healing is acknowledgement. So being the fact that we were able to get a space where we can just speak on what happened in our lives, I think it automatically creates this healing process and, you know, you get to move forward because a lot of us hold on and we carry anger because we never got a chance to, you know, speak our truth and acknowledge what happened to us or how things happened to us, you know? So I think that it's awesome that we get a chance to just speak and just explain to, you know, our other fellow members that, you know, this is what happened to me. I didn't know any better, but I've always felt pretty unsure about it and I wasn't always happy about it, but it seemed as if it was the norm. But now coming here and learning all this stuff, I realized that my feelings were true and I shouldn't have been dealt that way, or I should have been taught more, you know. And it's never too late to learn, so it just makes us happy to know that we're getting that information and we can share it to others in our lives and our friends and families and stuff like that who couldn't be at Project Dot with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing some of your story with us and your experience. So one last question for you. Do you have a favorite memory or moment that you'd be willing to share with us?
A favorite memory? Oh, you know, I do want to say, like, Because this year, me and my partner, Joanne Lynn, she helped me do some messaging for Project Dot. And I love hearing, like, the feedback from, like, you know, Swashity and Christina. Like, it's great to know that they're happy with the messaging. That feeds me, knowing that I'm doing such a great deed, you know, because this conversation is so important. So that's definitely my favorite part. After all the hard work, you get the, this is great, and you're just happy.
Yeah, I have multiple favorite memories, but I'll choose one. The one that keeps popping up in my head is when we were first introduced to Bystander. And I remember because at the time we had Daria, she was working with us, and that was my first year, and that was my very first year learning about Bystander. I had no clue about it. And when she finally gave us the proper definition, I remember looking all around the room and everybody rolled their eyes because we're so used to being told, mind your business. So now it's like we're about to be taught how to not mind our business. And it was just so funny because we all had the same exact reaction because we just did not understand why she was telling us to interfere with a problem that had nothing to do with us. So I thought that was really funny.
Thank you, Damien and Joanne, for your thoughts and for sharing your experiences with us. It was really fun to interview these two young folks, and it honestly gives me a lot of joy and hope for the future to hear how impactful they found Project Dot to be and how much they internalized from these projects. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, if you're interested in partnering with us on one of these projects, please, please, please get in touch with us. In the coming months, we're looking to start a DOT program with youth who have non-traditional housing, young men of color, and the LGBTQ+ community. If this sounds like something your organization might be interested in working on, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're a young person and you're between the ages of 13 and 21 and you want to get involved somehow, please also get in touch with us. You can get in touch with our Senior Prevention Coordinator, Christina Ortiz. You heard her at the top of the episode, and her email is going to be included in this episode's description. If you want to learn more or see more of what our youth have been up to, just go to www.project.info or follow us on our various social media accounts. Okay, now it's time for our new segment, Let's Talk Sex. This is our newest segment where I ask a question about sex and relationships to a random person and see what they have to say. This week, we have Jessica. Hello, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for being here with us at Sex Talk Happy Hour and Let's Talk Sex. So, what advice would you give to your younger self about sexual relationships as an adult?
The advice that I would give to my younger self would be gentle with yourself. Get in touch with yourself and your needs and feelings. When I was younger, I thought that I was invincible, and there were many times where certain things happened to me, and I thought that I could be tough, and I could take what was coming to me, and I could ignore certain warning signs. And as I became older, I realized that my toughness was actually allowing certain abusive things to happen to me that, looking back on it, I wish that I had not allowed to happen to myself. And now going forward as a more mature individual, I've decided that I have to take care of myself first and foremost, and that's what allows me to have healthier relationships going forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's a great answer.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica, for being part of our Let's Talk Sex segment. Listeners, you may or may not be hearing from Jessica in a future episode. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. We hope you enjoyed today's show. And again, if you or someone you know might be interested in partnering with the Alliance for other Project Dot groups, please, please get in touch. Again, information will be included in the episode description. Thank you to the Alliance staff for supporting this podcast, and especially to Shashati and Christina, who run the Project Dot program here. Thanks to Nikki Cruz, our social media expert, who takes on all the Project Dot content and puts it on our social media accounts. Check out the Project Dot highlights on our Instagram account to see what our youth have been coming up with so far. Nikki also does all the promotion and artwork for this podcast, so again, thanks girl, we're really happy to have you. Finally, a special thank you to Christina, Damien, and Joanne for sharing with us your experiences with Project Dot. Remember to subscribe and rate us on iTunes or Google Play, and please tell your friends to do the same. We hope to bring you more conversations, and we want to hear from you. If you want to get in touch with us, if you have feedback or thoughts, or you have a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can always tweet at us at NYCAASA. Or message us on Instagram at NYC Alliance, which is also where you can see some of the Project Dot highlights that are there. And as always, make sure you use our hashtag, #SexTalkHappyHour, all one word. Thanks so much for listening in. Ciao for now. We'll see you next time.